So we have a new month and a new day. So we thank God for an opportunity to listen to his word. And today we are in the book of Acts and we are still in chapter 2. And today we want to examine the witness of Peter. And this is really his sermon that he gives to the people when the day of Pentecost happened. And we want to see what are some of the key things that Peter brings to the table. And based on this, we will have a basis by which all, you know, ideally how we should preach to people and what should really be the content. What was the content of the early church that brought conversion? And what was the power in what they spoke about? Maybe by the grace of God, we'll be able to analyze that. So we're going to... we'll be in Acts chapter 2. We'll start from verse 12. And just as we summarize like what happened, we know that on the day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us that there were about 120 disciples. They were all gathered in one place and in one accord, in the unity, they were united together in purpose, praying together and fasting. Remember, they had been told to tarry in Jerusalem until their clothed with power from on high. And then the Bible tells us that there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting, and then divided tongues of fire. They appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and this sat on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, and as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And we were able to see that there were so many different Jews and also proselytes who are converts from the different parts of the known world there, Asia, Egypt, you know, Libya, you know, Africa, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, you know, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, you know, like all these tough names, Cretans, Arabs, and the Bible says they were hearing the disciples speaking in their own languages the wonderful works of God. So verse 12 is where we start from, and the Bible says, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? Now you can see what we see first is that it is a spiritual sign. And the Bible says, maybe we read verse 13, says, others mocking said, they are full of new wine. But Peter... And first of all, we can recognize that now Peter takes leadership of the church. Remember, he was told, feed my lamb. Do you love me more than this? Feed my flock, tend my lambs, you know, feed my sheep. And so he takes responsibility. He was always the one who was always ahead. And remember, it was he that answered Jesus correctly, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And based on that, he was told, and you are Peter. And on this rock, this revelation that you have received, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, verse 14 says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. And so he's telling them it is just 9 a.m. You know how they count their hours is from 6 is the first hour. So he's like, men of Israel, look here. Why do you think that these people are drunk? These are not drunk as you suppose. It is only the third hour of the day. That means even the bars had not been opened. It is only 9 a.m. But he says, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, the first thing that we see is that Peter uses the spiritual sign that has caught the attention of everyone. The people who had come for the festival of Pentecost, they had come, you know, for the festival of Pentecost. It caught their attention. Now, Peter uses that attention to now preach the gospel to them. Now, the first thing that we see is that he, and this is something maybe, let me place this as a point, whenever God does a miracle or whenever God does a healing, it is always that it reveals Christ, and it is always supposed that we are supposed to to preach Christ through it, and we should not just think it's about showing how powerful we are, but we must always use such moments to glorify God and to bring people to a knowledge of truth. Now, the Bible says, "For these are not drunk as you suppose, it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." So he starts first to prove to them what is it, the sign that they are seeing, that this sign is actually scriptural. And remember, they were clear of the scripture. So when he mentions what was spoken to by the prophet, these are all Jewish converts. These are all, you know, people who have understanding. These are people who knew the scriptures and who knew what it was that he was going to tell them. So what does he tell them? He tells them that, look here, this is what was spoken to by the prophet Joel. Verse 17. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, God says God, that I will pour out of my spirit, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, let us quickly just analyze this. First of all, he gives them that this is the prophecy that was spoken by the prophet Joel. And this is something that you can read in Joel chapter 2. You will find this prophecy. Now, what does the prophecy speak about? It says that he shall pour out his spirit on all flesh. When you examine that prophecy in Joel chapter 2, it went through certain stages in that, first of all, the people had sinned, and then God called them to come, to return to the Lord with prayer and fasting. He calls the priest to come back to the temple to pray again. He calls the bridegroom to leave their chamber. And if they do so, God says he will pour out a blessing. He'll bless their water. He'll bless their wine. He'll bless their olive oil, you know, and all that. And then eventually, when they have teared their hearts and not their garments, then the Bible says, "And afterwards I will pour out the latter rain," which is the rain of the Holy Spirit. And so this is a fulfillment of what was happening, of what Prophet Joel said. And now, so we see that the main importance, and this is what he's saying, it was an outpouring of the Spirit of God. And you'll find this in various points in Scripture where they say that, "And I will pour out my spirit. And when I pour out my spirit, what it does, it brings life. It brings," you know, remember in Ezekiel, "I will pour out my spirit on these people, and this dry bone shall come back to life." And this is now the regeneration that is taking place. Remember, people were spiritually dead, but then now they are receiving life. And this is what God says, that he will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And really, what is the purpose of this spirit being poured on all flesh? This purpose that we see is prophecy. And what I would say prophecy is, prophecy here is not necessarily speaking about the future, but it is interpreting the mind of God and proclaiming it and preaching it to people. So this prophecy that is being spoken about, that when the Spirit comes, is actually to proclaim the gospel. And we can see Peter here is the one that stands out as an example, because you remember Jesus had opened their understanding, their minds to understand the scriptures. And so the effect of that, remember, these were unschooled people. Remember when, you know, when is it one of the Agrippa that, or one of the guys, I say, but these guys were unschooled. But then the Bible says, but they noted that they had been with Jesus. And we had read in Luke that Jesus opened their understanding. He opened their eyes to understand the scriptures. So when someone's mind is open to understand the scripture, and this is why you must always pray for yourself, Ephesians 1, 15 and 16, that the Lord shall give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, then you are able to make connections between past, present, and future, and you can connect scriptures, and you will see the unity of the scriptures, because even like how we are preaching, it is because of that opened understanding by the Spirit of God that we are able to connect scriptures. Now it says, and it shall come to pass that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. That means the Spirit of God is available on for every human being. That means as long as you have flesh on you, that means it is the pouring of the Holy Spirit is not for spirits, but is for mankind, is for mankind, and it is available for every man. That means anyone that desires to be the Spirit to be poured upon is has the ability to receive it, and by faith they shall receive it. Now, beyond the issue of prophecy, which is preaching the word of God, then there shall also be visions. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Now, and then beyond that, I also want to show, apart from what the Holy Spirit coming upon the servants and the young men and the old men and all flesh, also there is also a prophecy of the end of the times. And that's why it says, before that coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. That means before the coming of the final judgment, there are certain things that will happen. There are going to be wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. Remember, these are all signs of the destruction of the elements. You know, the times of the great tribulation, people will be running here and there. There's going to be, you know, stars from falling from the sky. There's going to be fire. There's going to be all this destruction that will take place, remember, with the angels. And all this will take place before the coming of the great and awesome day. So as I said before, you can see when your mind is open to scriptures, you can see the past, you can see the present, you can also see the future. And we can see, and it says that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, this is very important, because before that coming of the great and glorious day, what we see is that salvation shall come, shall be preached, and anyone who calls on the name of the Lord has the chance to be saved. So now he's now going to preach about salvation. Now, verse 22, which is key. So the first thing that you've said is that he now starts to explain what is happening. He goes back into the past and he tells them the scripture. He helps them to understand the scripture. He tells them of the future, what will happen. And then now he now starts to give his witness. And this is very important, where the second aspect is, after he has shown that what is happening is biblical or is scriptural, then now he starts to give a defense of Jesus Christ. And remember, the most important defense, the most important purpose why the apostles were there is to be witnesses of Jesus and witnesses of the resurrection. And this is key. We always need to show people that they are witnesses, that we are witnesses of the resurrection. Now, verse 22 says, Acts chapter 2, verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, and having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Now, everything else that he says is a summary of this. And if you want to ask yourself, what was the message that the disciples gave? It was always that this Jesus, he was a man, Jesus of Nazareth. God proved that he has approved him by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in their presence. That means they were able to see, to be witnesses. He's telling the Jews, you guys, you know without a shadow of doubt that this Jesus was a man that God approved. Why? Because God showed it by miracles, signs, and wonders. Remember, the Jews are after signs. The Jews are after miracles, wonders, and signs. They used to ask Jesus, what sign will you show us? And Jesus told them, "You adulterous generation, no sign will be given to you except the sign of Jonah." Now, God had proven to them that they were seeing that Jesus was of God. Now he tells them that you know it and you yourselves also know, but he was delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. Hallelujah. That means that God was not surprised that Jesus was crucified. God was not surprised that he was supposed to go on the cross and he was supposed to be resurrected, but it was by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. Now, he also starts to show them that all that has taken place was already the plan of God. And however, it was taken by lawless hands. They have crucified him. That means you guys, you took a man of God, you took the Christ and you crucified him. And you put him to death by lawless men. And he says, but God has raised him up. Look at it. He says, God has raised him up. That means he's preaching the resurrection. And this is what we must constantly preach. That it is God that has raised up this Jesus. And having lose the pains of death. And because it was not possible that he should be held by it. So he's proving, you see, this man that you crucified is the Christ. Remember, the Jews are waiting for the Christ. They are waiting for the Messiah. Christ is the Messiah in Greek. They are waiting for that person who will deliver them, who will be the, you know, even today, those that the Jews that don't believe in Jesus as the Christ are still waiting for the Messiah. So anyone that appears and says they're the Messiah, you might be received if you have all the characteristics, but you see, it's not possible because all this can only statistically be possible if they are proven through the Christ. And he tells them that whom God having raised up and the pains of and lose the pains of death, that means he overcame death. Why is it that Jesus is the Christ? He defeated death. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and whom God raised up and having lose the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. I love how I think it is Hebrews that puts it that God destroyed him who held the power of death. That means that the person who held in the past the power of death, Jesus destroyed. Now, that means it was not possible for death to hold him because God raised him. And this is a proof that he is the Christ. Now, beyond that, what happened, his witness, he also wants to give them other scriptural evidence that Jesus is the Christ. And so he gives them the evidence of David. Why? Because they believe in David. Remember, you remember the Israelites believe in Moses. They believe in David. You know, they're key prophets that they believe in. They believe in the prophets. They were familiar with the scripture. And so now he gives them the witness of David because they kept saying the son of David. Now, what is the witness of David? Verse 25 of Acts chapter 2, it says, for David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before me, before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave your my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life or the paths of life, and you will make me full of joy in your presence. So remember, now he's telling them that, you remember even in the Psalms that Jesus already spoke this, that you shall, I mean, David prophesied this, that the Messiah shall come and he shall not stay in hell. God will resurrect him. He will not allow the Holy One to see corruption. And for sure, we see that God does not allow the Christ to see corruption. And that's why he starts to prove to them that this Jesus that you crucified is the Christ. And this is the whole essence of this. Now, verse 29, it says, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body according to the flesh, that means his own descendant, a son of David, he will raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. Verse 32, which is a key verse. This Jesus, God has raised up, that means he has resurrected him, of which we are all witnesses. Hallelujah. They are witnesses. And he's saying, this is why we are doing this. This is why we are speaking in tongues. This is why we are praising God. This Jesus, God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. And verse 33, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out, which this is what you now see and hear. Look at it, it's saying, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit and it's a promise of the Father and having received from the Father. That means he has been raised up, and not only has he been raised up, he has been given the highest place. The right hand of God is the hand of authority. It's not really physical location, but it is a throne of authority. That means he has been given the authority and he has been exalted. Remember, he was exalted and given the name that is above every other name. And this is a revelation that Peter has. And that's why even when you read Peter, he says he has been given a name that is above every other name, that at the mention, that the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth must bow. The Bible says, and what is the evidence of this? And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Now, verse 34, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Now, verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you both crucified, both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. So we see, he's telling them, this is the witness. I can assure you, even through the witness of David, that he will come in his flesh. God will give him a son who will be on the Christ the Lord. I can assure you, let the house of Israel know that God has made this Jesus that God proved through signs and miracles, this Jesus that you crucified, lawless men, this Jesus that died, this Jesus that death could not hold him, that is resurrected. This Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father, and he has received the promise of the Holy Spirit, and he has given him to us, and is now seated where he is seated, where it says, the Bible says, sit at my right hand till I make the enemies your footstool. And if you read that, it says, and I'm sending the rod of my strength in Zion. The rod of the strength in Zion is the Holy Spirit. And it says now the Holy Spirit that is coming to fulfill that promise, that until I make your enemies your footstool. So Jesus is seated. That means there is no debate about his authority. But on the earth, why we still don't see that is because now the Holy Spirit, the rod of his strength, has come. And through the church, is going to make every enemies of the Christ his footstool. And the Bible says, and it tells them, I can assure you that this God has made this Jesus, whom you both crucified, both Lord, that means he is in charge of everything, he is the owner of everything, and Christ, he is the Messiah, he is the anointed one, he is the Son of God, he is the one that you should have believed. And verse 37, which he said, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they say to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that means for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So you can see their preaching was to preach Christ, to prove that Jesus is resurrected, and this Jesus that is resurrected is both Lord and Christ. And you see, when the Jews understood that, oh my God, the Messiah was with us, and we crucified him, and the Christ came, and now he is gone, and we are guilty of this, but he is alive, they said now their hearts were cut, and they said, what shall we do? So they could see their sinfulness. They could see how they have failed. They have missed the Christ. And they are responsible for the blood of an innocent man. So we see, when we point people to the resurrected Christ and we point them to their need of the Christ, then men can their hearts be cut. And when their hearts are cut, then they genuinely ask, what is the way forward? And the way forward is very clear, which is repentance, which is change your mind, turn around, turn 360 degrees, and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is for you, your children, and everyone, which includes you and me today, all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So we can see Peter preached powerfully. He used the scriptures. God opened the scriptures. He explained to them what was happening. Then he gives them what is the witness, that Jesus is the Christ. He also gave them witness of David. And then after now the people have received the message, preaching is not complete until we give an invitation for people to come to the altar for repentance. And he completes his sermon by telling them, come and repent. So always when you finish preaching, always call for people to receive Christ and to be received the gift of salvation. So I will stop there, and I pray that God has given us insight into the witness of Peter through his sermon. Brother, you're welcome, as God leads you.
Thank you, Dr. Manu. Thank you, Dr. Manuel.
Okay. Excellent. Okay, thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We honor your holy name. We thank you that you are Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. You are at the right hand of the Father, and you have defeated the pains of death. You have defeated the devil. You have defeated destruction and sicknesses. And indeed today we thank you that the power of the resurrection is alive today, that we that believe in the resurrection, we can be saved. And not only can we be saved, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will work in our bodies, will work in our hearts, will work in our lives, that we shall receive the life-giving force. And I pray that this life-giving force shall move in our lives, move in our bodies, move in our families, move in our nations, move in our marriages, move in everything that concerns us. And I speak life and life and life, that the Christ who is exalted, is seated, is alive today, and by him we receive victory and victory. We return all the glory to you, O God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for the new man. Thank you for the grace that is poured out. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for everyone that is receiving you by faith. They are made sons of God. And I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you that indeed the Christ is alive. And we are witnesses of this. I pray that today the hearts may be opened, our understanding will be opened to scriptures, that your servants will understand and by the Holy Spirit become witnesses of the resurrection, just as Peter was, through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day.